Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
There was a court order. These guys violate it all the time. I haven't seen anyone with that board for what was determined by the law. For what gets talked about publicly, the bashing, all of that. Jenny Weber and Mr. Walter are not supposed to be doing that. I love that it got said that they're a competitor. They are a competitor. Mostly they're disgruntled volunteers, not even a disgruntled employee. And they have been harassing this organization for years now. And I can't wait until it does get to come out publicly. I hope they get their hands slapped, and I hope that they get silenced, because what they're doing is wrong.
So, I forget who this was who was speaking, and I didn't do my job of going back and finding out who it was, but can I just say this? There's this long-running feud over the Butterfly House in Milton. Remember, the Butterfly House used to be in Navarre, and then they moved, and they came to Milton right across from the train depot. What do they call it? I can't remember now. Where, you know, the museum, the train museum in Milton. My next-door neighbor's like one of the most involved people with that thing, and I feel dumb saying it that way, so I apologize. Anyway, but they've had problems getting it open because stormwater mitigation and or opposition and trying to get the site plan approved by an engineer, and it's just a long saga. Like everything in Milton, it's a long saga. So what you have is some people who were affiliated with the Butterfly House, and then there was an internal feud and, again, a lot of background drama, including, you know, keep Santa Rosa beautiful and audits and, okay, so Jenny Weber and Bill Walter, at least Jenny Weber, always shows up at the meeting to oppose the Butterfly House thing. Bob Cole, former county commissioner, whose wife is on the board or the treasurer or something, I forget, always kind of shows up as their spokesperson. And they have had many, many, many salty words for each other over time. This person is saying that there's this ongoing litigation and that they're not supposed to be talking about this stuff in public, which they had previously talked to during the meeting about this. And the thing that I just want you to ponder for a moment is this story of the Butterfly House and Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful and the just all of, is that or is that not the most Milton thing you can possibly imagine? Because what you have is, I think they call it Butterflies on Wheels, is the organization that they are running now. And then you have the Butterfly House as the organization that's trying to really get their physical location in operation and running properly, and they've been having extensions. You literally have a gang war of two butterfly providing organizations. It's the butterfly gang war of Milton. And I'm just, you know, when you think about butterfly people, calm, relaxed, happy, keys to nature. But yet, the most vicious feud in Santa Rosa County right now might well be between the rival Butterfly House providers. And then, okay, so City Council has put together, they've got these rules for how they conduct their meetings. And the rules include, for example, that you now can only speak the one time. You know, it used to be, I mean, the meetings used to be the wild, wild west. Like, people would just kind of get up and talk and walk up to the podium and say their piece. And, I mean, it was fun and totally chaotic. And then, you know, one of the sort of lasting contributions of the short-lived tenure of Scott Collins, the city manager for a minute, is that they only speak one time on a subject. So there's no, like, back-and-forth response, follow-up, which is kind of what people in Milton had gotten used to, is that way of doing things. So that's the backdrop to understanding that here you have this woman, again, I don't remember who it was who was speaking, name checks Jenny Weber and Bill Walter, and then both of them try to get up and correct the record. But you already spoke your one time, so Mayor Lindsay is stuck being, like, and she's back, okay, after losing her job. Well, she says getting fired from the city of Pensacola. She said that in this meeting. So no longer is the pretense that she just amicably decided to leave the city. But anyway, she's the one trying to run the meeting, and she's not too happy about the fact that they can't speak more than one time.
Is there anything new and different? Because this motion's pending and we have other business.
Yeah, I'd like to correct the record because my name is being brought out there like Beetlejuice. No, I am not the most evil person in the world.
My name
is brought out and I'm correcting the record.
And you get one time to speak, everyone.
And you wanted to have new information.
You only get to speak once. I'm sorry. You get one time to speak. That's it. That's the rules for everyone.
People can say anything about you.
I'm sorry.
And you can't correct the record.
Public input at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
You can't speak then.
You get your one shot, and you can hear voices like Sherry Sebastio and Jeff Snow telling her she's not allowed to speak, and Gavin Hawthorne telling her that she's not allowed to speak more than once. And then again, after that, this happens with the other person, Bill Walter. Same basic premise. You've spoken your one time. If somebody else says things about you that you think are untrue, tough. There's a public forum at the end of the meeting. Of course, they're going to have the vote on the issue of whether to extend the time that they're going to allow the Butterfly House to get their fixes fixed. But, you know, so it'll be over by then. But it's never all over but for the shouting, because it's just all the shouting in Milton.
Sir, I have to ask you and Miss Jenny to come back at the end for public input because you already spoke to this item.
I have new information.
Is it? Well, I don't know if the council. No, excuse me, members of the public can stop. If the members of the council are interested in your new information, then they can ask for it, sir. I would be interested in it, but apparently the rule is, even though the mayor presides over the meeting, the council has decided that people only get to speak once.
Okay. Well, it's just a major accusation was made.
We said the rules.
And there's no allowance to counter that?
Apparently not, sir. That's
unless
what this
on the council wants.
This council has apparently decided, without giving me a chance to do my job, that no one gets to speak twice. So at public input, if you want to share something, if they made the wrong decision because they should have listened to you, that'll be up to them to reflect on. It's not my call, sir. It should be my call, but it's not my call anymore.
Well, I'm supposed to be in charge of these meetings. I am the mayor, after all. It's my job to run them, but they've taken it out of my hands that I'm not allowed to let you speak more than one time. There's a little bit of pissiness coming from Heather Lindsay over this, which, you know, she's been out for a couple of months, and she's frustrated, which is par for the course.
Smoother if y'all would just vote yes or no to a motion and then vote a new.
Okay. The backdrop here is Jeff Snow had wanted to give them, like, 4 months to get their stuff done in the Butterfly House. And some other people had indicated they weren't willing to go for that. We don't yet know it, but the proposal is going to be, they had talked about like 41 days, and the proposal is going to be 65 days, okay? But it's a back and forth over how long to extend the Butterfly House's last chance to get their stuff done.
Smoother if y'all would just vote yes or no to a motion and then start a new motion if you think there's more business to do. You could amend your own motion, Mr. Snow, but you didn't want to.
Reason for comments, man.
I'm just trying to make sure we understand what the status is. It's 9:30. We have other business to do. Do y'all want to vote on this?
No reason for comments, Mrs. Mayor. I'm just...
motion as it's
we
been
were
presented.
Listening to Ms. Farrow, if she possibly had a different solution that we would agree with. And Mr. Hawthorne has just brought up something else. If somebody wants to talk about it, the council's discussing. We'll be here all night. That's what we're here for. It's what people always say. So let's get it right. I mean,
okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were open.
Excuse me.
I didn't know you were open to other ideas, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
All you got to do is ask.
Well, I didn't know.
We called the vote and you continued discussion. So
that's true. All you got to do is ask. Oh, man. If they were brother and sister, you know what I mean? Okay. So they vote on it. They approve it. 65 days. Okay. I think it was a 4-3 vote. The who's on which side isn't all that really relevant for all. I mean, Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack and Casey Powell voted against. And then Gavin Hawthorne and Roxanne Meese and Jeff Snow and Cheri Sebastian voted for. Okay. Anyway, so now you got in the after, like the last forum after everything else is done. Then you have this Jenny Weber, who again was very closely connected with the old Butterfly House. And then there was this rift, and now she's an opponent of the new Butterfly House, the Bob Cole variant of the Butterfly House. And I guess, I don't know, I guess she's, they're doing their own thing with butterflies elsewhere. Okay, so anyway.
I was made to look like a horrible person, like I'm a mean, vindictive, and just, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so disgruntled. No, I've moved on with my life, yeah.
Even though, to tell you the truth, every single time there's a meeting on this subject, she's always there. And like I said, the salty words between her and Bob Cole are, well, they have been the grist of many previous episodes of Days of Our Milton.
Butterflies in Motion is teaching people about butterflies, and we're doing the program like we, like, you know, 3,222 people that we've seen this year all over the whole panhandle. So yeah, we're doing it.
So she's the Butterflies in Motion is kind of the competitor agency.
You know, everybody would like to blame it on me, like it was like it's my downfall, it's my fault that they're failing. Well, no, they kind of brought it on themselves. Seven really good board members left in the last few years from this organization because of how messed up they are. And because I was on the board and because I saw it, was my duty to tell the county just how dorked up they were. And the county did an audit. And what happened out of that? They failed that audit.
I think that's my favorite expression of the whole meeting. Just how dorked up they were. So then Bill Walter comes in again. He's one of the other people that was critical and felt like he was robbed of his opportunity to respond. So it's at the end of the meeting after it's moot, but still he's going to have his say.
If you want to do your research, public information, you can see the consent agreement, okay? Otherwise, you stop accusing people of doing things or you're going to find yourself in a lawsuit. That's for damn sure, because I got plenty of time. I'm an old fart, got plenty of friends. And I got plenty of time, okay?
You're going to find yourself in a lawsuit. I got plenty of time. I'm an old fart. I got lots of friends. Stop dorking things up.
Sir,
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I'm sorry.
No, sir, because your time's expired. Thank you for being here. And I realize you're frustrated and it's late, but please don't say, tell him to sit his ass down again.
I didn't catch the first version of that, but it's funny to me that the mayor felt the need to to re-quote whatever that was. And then just as like a capper to all of this, Bob Cole, who had started off sort of sounding like he was going to try to get along with everybody, comes back at the end for parting shots for City Councilman Mike Cusack and City Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow, who are frequently allies of the mayor, frequently on the losing side of a lot of, you know, 6-2 or 5-2, depending on who's their votes. They were in the opposition on both of the big votes from this meeting, although they did win one. They did win the one. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Bob Cole, former county commissioner.
Mr. Cusack, Ms. Farrow, I ask if you've ever read your backup. Some of the questions I've said, I did this stuff for 20 years. Some of the questions you asked, you were right there in your backup. You had to be told it was on the next page, Mr. Cusack.
So what he's talking about there, if you don't know the terminology, is for every agenda for a meeting, you've got the sort of the outline agenda, okay, that tells you all of the items and then has some degree of detail depending on which county commissioner, city council you're talking about. And then you have the backup, okay? And the backup is all of the supporting documentation. And these documents run to hundreds of pages very normally because it's all the legal and the schematics and it's the, you know, the letters and the opinion. It's everything, okay? And the role of the councilman is to read the backup so that you're fully informed about the issues. It's not that you're necessarily going to talk about it all, but you get informed by getting all of the information. And what he's saying is, you guys asked questions a couple of times in this city council meeting that seemed to indicate that you didn't even bother reading the research material, the backup material. So, you know, do your job. And can I tell you, I almost didn't include this one in my episode this week because this is like the light end of the scale. I mean, it's always, I tell you, there's always like five acts, you know, in the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. And this was the littlest of them. Okay, the other ones, well, we'll get to them throughout the morning because they're there's something. It's just precious is what it is. So again, my big takeaway, the thing that I'm surprised I never thought of it before, but my big takeaway is that one of the biggest problems or fights in Santa Rosa, in Milton, is between the feuding factions of Butterfly fans. The Butterfly Gang War of 2024. 525 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. And, you know, if you get hungry later today, and oh my God, I just saw somebody else on Facebook saying, you know, how much they appreciate everybody talking about Pounders and how fantastic it was, because it really is. And they're just like, oh, this is legit. Good price, fantastic food. It is. Pounders Hawaiian Grill is now open on North Davis Highway, right in the old Dickie's Barbecue, right across from JCPenney in the University Mall, across from Academy Sports. And it's just, it really is fantastic. Like, just go. I mean, just go. Just you trust me? You trust me? I know how to eat. Go. We've been going to this place in Crestview for years. I don't know how we've discovered them, but we discovered them years ago in Crestview. And every time we're out of the area, we always drive past on I-10, and we go out of our way to go up to Pounders because it's fantastic. The teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig, the garlic chicken, the rice sides, the macaroni sides. Like, it's all amazing. And every time I say, when are you guys moving to Pensacola? When are you guys moving to Pensacola? Well, they finally did. They're not open Sundays or Mondays, so you can't go today. They give their employees a break for 2 days a week. Pounders Hawaiian Grill on North Davis Highway.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union. Because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'll be the money!
John, what do you mean? What do you mean the city of Milton Council is not your people?
No.
You live in the area.
I live in the area, but I don't.
You don't live in proper? You don't live in Milton proper?
No, I used to live within the city limits, but I have since moved out of the city limits.
Just like some of the city council members.
That's right.
Because I'm done with all of this. 528 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Republicans have blocked a Senate bill banning bump stocks after the Supreme Court ruled last week that a federal ban on them was unlawful. The Trump administration banned the bump stocks after the 2017 shooting in Las Vegas. The shooter that killed 5 people and injured 19 more in a 2022 shooting at an LGBTQ club in Colorado has now been sentenced to life without parole. Anderson Lee Aldrich pled guilty to 74 federal hate crimes and gun charges in connection with that shooting yesterday. And Andrew, baseball, mourning the loss of a legend, Willie Mays, died Tuesday at the age of 93. He played 20-plus years, most of them with the San Francisco Giants. He made 24 All-Star teams, 2 National League MVP awards, and 12 Gold Gloves.
660 home runs for, at the time, second all-time behind Babe Ruth, now sixth all-time. As you said, 12 Gold Gloves, 24 times All-Star, 338 stolen bases, and a .302 career average. He did okay.
Yeah,
I mean, he did okay.
He was all right.
And, yeah. And, you know, for people who don't know baseball, the real trick to understanding this is the variety of category dominance. You know, it's not just the power, home runs, and combined with a great average. So those are, it's hard to get one or the other of those, let alone to have both power and average. The speed, you know, the 338 stolen bases is ridiculous for a power hitter. You know, like that doesn't happen. And of course, we've all seen the famous catch and the way he fielded in center field and 12 gold gloves. It's just, you know, he was the all-around player. And any conversation you would ever have about best baseball player ever, he's going to be in that conversation. You know, just an unbelievable player. So, David, yeah, sad thing to lose him, but I think for any of us who love the sport, we celebrate all the amazing things that he did in the sport and the achievements he had, in spite of being, you know, outside looking in the beginning, when black players were not allowed to play in the very beginning of his career when he was first drafted.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pollard. Yeah, a new deal between North Korea and Russia today. The two nations signing a partnership that includes mutual aid if either country's attacked, both facing escalating standoffs with the West. The Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, dies at the age of 93. The legendary Hall of Fame outfielder played in 24 All-Star games, was the National League MVP in 1954 and 65, and a World Series champion with the then New York Giants, known forever for this. That from MLB, The Catch, also known also in Game 1 of that World Series in 1954. Mays smacked 660 career home runs and more than 3,200 hits. Also won the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2015. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 79 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies this morning. The NAACP of Okaloosa County is holding a town hall meeting regarding the death of senior airman Roger Fortson later this month. That'll be held at the Fort Walton Beach Civic Auditorium along Highway 98 there on June 29th. Fortson's mother and other community leaders will be on hand. They'll be discussing the incident that led to Fortson's death. He was shot and killed when an Okaloosa County deputy responded to an alleged domestic incident back in May. Fortson answered the door with a handgun. However, the investigation determined he never threatened or resisted the deputy. The deputy involved has since been fired by the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. Three people were taken to the hospital after a crash on Michigan Avenue yesterday. That happened in front of a car dealership on the 2300 block when a car and an SUV crashed head-on. Channel 3 reports several people had to be extricated from those two vehicles. EMS took three people to area hospitals. Right now, there's no word on anybody involved's current condition. A years-long feud and political differences, that's the best way to sum up Commissioner James Calkins' refusal to support the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office setting up shop in Santa Rosa County. Dan Shebler currently serves as the Dome's Director of Operations. Previously, he served as Santa Rosa County Administrator until his resignation.
He also came out and just recently held a fundraiser for our great Congressman Matt Gaetz's opponent. And I just don't think that this gentleman represents the values of Santa Rosa County, and I don't believe that his agenda fits the agenda of Santa Rosa County.
Despite Calkins' opposition, the county is conveying 4 acres of land on Commerce Road where that new facility will be located. Area veterans that would like to get enrolled for care at the VA clinic can get some help with the process this week. The Gulf Coast VA hosting a veteran town hall event. That'll be this coming Thursday at the Marcus Point Baptist Church from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. And if you'd like to attend, you are asked to register online. The link for that is posted at the News Radio 92.3 website. It is 5:34 News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We can expect partly cloudy skies on Wednesday with high temperatures around 90 degrees. That's right on top of the normal high, which is 90. Chance of rain today sitting at 30%. We'll see a couple of afternoon storms. Heading into this evening, partly cloudy and those lows back in the upper 70s. A usual low is about 74. I think for us on Thursday, again, partly cloudy. Chance of rain a little better, more like 50% by Thursday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Christian Garman for WEAR.
And right now, 79 in Pensacola, it's 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple has stopped issuing loans through Apple Pay Later, its buy now, pay later program that launched last year. The move comes after Apple said it would start allowing installment loans through third-party companies such as Affirm. Users with open loans will continue to have access to Apple Pay Later to manage and pay their balance. The Federal Trade Commission has sued Adobe, alleging the software company violated consumer protection laws by making it too difficult for consumers to cancel their subscriptions. The cancellation process includes speaking with multiple representatives, having to navigate through multiple online pages, and more. In addition, Adobe pushed users towards annual subscriptions without adequately disclosing that canceling in the first year could cost hundreds of dollars. An Adobe spokesperson has not publicly responded. The stock market is closed for the holiday and will reopen tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Getting quality employees to...
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday I had a chance to talk with Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, newly reelected without opposition, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Well done, sir. Welcome back to the show. Joining me now, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff, newly reelected Escambia County Sheriff, elected without opposition. Well done, sir. Congratulations. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of say thank you to the citizens of Escambia County, because to me it's much more of a testament to the hard work of the men and women of the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. We had a vision when I was first elected 4 years ago, and you know this engagement and enforcement like we've never seen before, and our guys have really bought into it, and they're really pushing us forward with our core values and the levels that we really want it to be. And I appreciate the opportunity to continue to serve for 4.5 more years and not have to put signs out in the summer heat. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
When was the last time we had an uncontested sheriff's elections in Escambia County.
There's never been one. This is the first one. We've had
That's
some
amazing.
Local historians kind of go through it,
yeah.
go through newspapers and see who's
run. And it's usually a pretty acrimonious thing. I mean, it's usually pretty unpleasant, you know?
Especially in today's day and age where anyone can decide, hey, I want to do this for whatever reason, whether they really want to be the sheriff, whether they want to make a name for themselves in any race, not just the sheriff's race,
sure.
but any race. But it's, and again, that's again, the honor that, you know, that I have. And I certainly appreciate, especially having been raised in Escambia County and a little bit of a history buff myself. You know, I'm not unfamiliar with the situation I find myself in. And I really appreciate the support that I've had throughout my career, whether it's being police chief,
I was going to say
being the sheriff of Escambia County.
Well, and people forget you were the assistant county administrator in Escambia County, and you oversaw the jail and some other things.
And
you know, they got a little bit of administrative experience beyond being the chief police.
Yeah, so I'm old. We get it.
we don't need to have this conversation. You're older than I am, but not by much.
Yeah. Old enough.
So my one question is: when you were a long-haired hippie undercover narcotics investigator back in the day for PPD. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think you'd be the uncontested, unanimous by acclamation reelected sheriff of Escambia County?
Never in a million years. But seriously, would I have thought about even being the police chief? I was just worried about the next drug bust back then.
Right.
And worried about supporting my family and my two young boys. And then as you continue to move up in your career, you realize, you know what? Maybe that's an option.
Mm-hmm. Take one more step.
A lot of it's good fortune, you know, and then there's preparation. You know, I do understand the value of preparation and getting the education and getting the experience in different levels and being prepared when those opportunities come around.
And last question on this topic, I promise, but here we go.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have this question. Okay. Do you plan to stay as sheriff for 8-12 years? Do you plan for higher office, some different level of responsibility? What's your plan if you have one at this point?
Well, I'm the one that says that I don't think there's a higher office than the sheriff of Escambia County.
Gotcha.
I think that, as long as I can serve, as long as we can continue to make the positive impact that we're making and go in the direction that we're going, you know, I look to continue as the sheriff, or hopefully, you know, the people will have me. Mm-hmm. But again, as we just talked about, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know what opportunities may present you. So I love my job and I hope to keep it for many, many years. We're going to work hard at it. No one's going to work harder, and we'll let things, you know, come as they come.
Gotcha. Haven't been a lot of cases in the news. I appreciate that. That's a good week. But you did take down a couple of drug houses, right?
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about this enforcement that we keep talking about. And I think that our narcotics unit is just killing it. They're doing such a great job. We did a little quick video on some stuff that we seized last week. And then we got two more taken down, Teakwood Circle, 50th Avenue, and Fairfield. And then two more last week. So they're doing a great job. You know, I keep saying kicking doors. I guess that's old school because that's what we used to do. You got me back to my narcotics days.
I know, right?
We were counting door
Plus,
kicks.
Plus, I learned from my exposure to the shoot house that kicking in a door is liable to just put you
thigh
deep into a door that you're stuck in. So
we know you're an expert, Andrew.
Oh, come
we
on
know.
Now. Come on, be fair. You know that's not true.
I walked in here and he asked, where's my certificate? It's coming, mister.
Not forthcoming. Not yet. Anyway, so you guys took down a couple of houses and kicking doors.
And again, every single one of these has some impact, some greater impact than others. We understand, but we continue to try, and you know our guys are just doing exactly what we expect them to do. While I'm at home sleeping or watching cartoons or something, they're out there, you know, kicking doors and doing what's right for Escambia County.
Sheriff watches cartoons. That's the big takeaway here. Excellent. we have been doing a lot with this training. Actually, before we get to that, let's get quick traffic on the fives from John. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on Highway 90 southbound on Avalon, you're going to see some major backups southbound, backed up to about Hope Church, so that's about a quarter of a mile there, so pack your patience with that one. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I'm getting a ton of texts in here congratulating you on your re-election, so...
Well, you're not going to read them. Is that what you're telling me? No, thank you very much.
I want your head to fit out the door when you're leaving. Not because I want you to leave, but I just want it to be safe for you, you know?
Now I know why people call in.
Yeah, right. As you know, I had asked to see the new facility, went out to look at it, have spent a lot of time on the air talking about it, putting up videos on Facebook and promoting it. But this shoot house that you have, I mean, you've had the you know, the training facility, the range for a long time. It's been there for years.
Right.
But the new facility is amazing. But this was all just an idea you had years ago, right?
Well, when I got elected, I started looking around at how we can continue to get better. I'm one of those ones that I'm an optimist, and I believe that Escambia County deserves the best, and I think they deserve the best sheriff's office. And I think if you work at the sheriff's office, you deserve the best. So how can we make this better and that better and everything excellent? And that's what we strive for. And so I thought, you know what, the range is already.
It's a coach's mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Football coach, you know,
mentor,
all of that.
Yeah, it's that thing where if you strive for perfection, eventually you'll land on excellence and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's that drive that makes you better, that repetitive drive. Anyways, so you got me on coaching, and now you got me all talking
You're
about
doing
football
good, all right.
season and that sort of thing. So I started thinking, I have a whiteboard. I'm a big whiteboard fan in my office. I'm like, well, hey, if we're going to do this, we need a new range tower. Let's make it like this, and let's have a shoot house in the back of it, because shoot houses, for anyone that's listening that don't know, that haven't been paying attention to your your series, is another opportunity to train while you're at the range, not with live rounds, but with simulation type rounds. And I wanted it where we can not just train, but we can also critique. So I wanted a catwalk in it. So I started drawing it on the whiteboard, and I called my training experts over, and they said, why can't we do this? You know, I guess you can, but it's kind of hard. I said, let's shoot for the moon.
Dream
and see
it
what
first.
We can get.
Yeah.
And so they did a fantastic job. Our training people were there with me the whole time. Please don't ask them exactly what they think about my back and forth with them on pushing them farther and farther and better and better. And our facilities manager, Marcus Faulkner, they have done a fantastic job of getting this shoot house to this second to none, in my opinion. But also, you know, we went and looked at some shoot houses and wanted one step better because, again, I think that we deserve that.
Yeah, and I think when I was doing video with you, I asked you the question of, you know, how many other facilities like this? Where's the next closest in Florida? And your answer was there isn't. I mean, this is as good as it gets. This is, you know, state of the art, best in class, and, you know.
Well, you've been there.
Yeah.
You see what it is. We can create walls and create rooms and create scenarios, whether it's NES Pensacola, whether it's a school, and we can train that way. But also we can not just follow behind our troops, but also, again, with the catwalks and the video availability, we can critique every step that they take so that we can get better and better.
You can do the training so that when they come into a situation that's novel to them, they will have the thought process, the muscle memory, the psychological conditioning, the breathing, all of it in place so that they make good decisions and protect lives and save lives, including their own. I mean, it's
including their own.
And you know, one of the things that I haven't gotten into this a whole lot, but one of the things that was amazing to me is I feel like I know more than the average person about, like, law enforcement stuff, okay?
Right.
Just from years of talking with you, okay? And so I get in there, and even after having gone through one simulation, and we're going through the debrief, which we're going to cover more tomorrow at 6:35, but going through the debrief, and, you know, for example, one thing that Sergeant Hendershot brought up was, he's like, okay, so you shot this guy and he's down. Is he disarmed? I don't know. You know, is he unconscious? I don't know. I didn't check. And he's like, well, either way, is he now a patient? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, if he's not dead, he's now safe. Even if he's safe, don't you have an obligation to save his life? I'm like, oh, man. So what do you do? Well, and, you know, what if you're in a school, and what if there are kids and all of this kind of stuff? Like, those are complications to a complicated scenario that you never think about until you go through this kind of an event, and your instructors, who are world class, point it out, and then you have to think through those things, right?
Well, yeah, and we go by what we see, not just locally, but nationally. We look at other videos, and we say, okay, what could they have done better? And it's not really to broadcast that to everyone, but to say, hey, why don't we incorporate that into our training?
Right.
There are many times that I'll see something, and I'll say, hey, put this out to our troops today. So we'll put that out, and so that very, like, within an hour or two, the very next shift that comes on, they're seeing that video. They're discussing this scenario that took place. And certainly if we have one that we have the video of, then we put that into our training scenarios as well. So, yeah, that allows us to continue to evolve and to get better and better, because, like you said, we'll watch a video and say, oh, you know, you could have started CPR just a little quicker, you know. And I understand that some of those things aren't, you know, it's in a perfect scenario, and they're never perfect scenarios, as you know. That's why we continue to have these types of training in this type of a shootout. So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than just there's not more to winning the day than just shooting.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more. You have to survive, obviously, and you have to save lives, and you have to do what you can to.
And, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, I remember having a conversation with a cop a couple of years ago, making the comment that we're going to have a bad day. You know, we're going to do something wrong. It's going to be news. It's going to be bad. But I want you to know if, you know, when that day happens, okay, I want you to know, first of all, that we have a relationship where you can trust me and the information I'm giving you.
Right.
Good. But also, I want you to know how hard we work to make that not happen so that you have a context against which to judge our mistakes. You know, and to me, this is all a part of putting your officers and your deputies and the citizens in the best possible position so that if or when a bad event comes, people know how much you have been preparing to try to prevent that from happening and to make sure that outcomes are always good.
That's the message for the community, but it's also the message internally for our employees. We talked a lot last week about recruiting, and we're doing very well with recruiting, over 500 applicants last year.
You have more than you can take, right?
Yeah, we have to cull them quite a bit. We have high standards, so not everyone does.
Good problem to have. Yeah.
But it's also the reason we are doing well in recruiting is because my belief is that when people know they come to the sheriff's office, they're going to get top-notch training. Mm-hmm. They're going to get these opportunities to go and work different places, and that's really important to all of us. Should be important to our county.
Amen. So anyway, it was eye-opening to me, and not just fun, but it was very instructive to me, and that's what I'm trying to share with people so that they understand.
And I appreciate what you've been doing. I will put a little plug in for Andrew McKay. If you haven't watched this series, I'm assuming you can go back and
it's on Facebook. We've got them all posted on Facebook.
And get a good look, an insider's look, I should say, at the training, but also the what I call the beautiful facility that
it is.
The Board of County Commissioners has purchased the property, and they have it. They're the owner of the property. We run the range, and that's why we put our money into that to make sure that we continue to do what the community wants us to
and
do.
And funds for the county funded the tower observatory, but you funded the building itself out of what, drug
local
seizure money?
Sales tax.
Local option sales tax. Yeah. Okay, got
the, it. The local option sales tax that, I don't know when it expires, but a portion of that goes to law enforcement. We purchase our cruiser cars and computers and stuff with that. And I also allocated some of that money for the shoot house as well.
And there's like 30 agencies that also train at that facility and use it all the time. So
yeah, I think practically every agency.
Yeah. So it's not just for the sheriff's office.
We schedule it.
Right. Sure.
And we have first priority, us and county corrections.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, you have a couple things coming up, or at least one thing coming up. You've got a raffle on a boat that is the proceeds are going to go to benefit the foundation. Is that
the
right?
Sheriff Foundation, right. As you know, the Sheriff Foundation serves to support the men and women of the sheriff's office in their engagement efforts. And you can support the Sheriff Foundation, and you can also win a boat, Legendary Marine. They're giving away a boat at their June 29th open house event. Raffle ticket proceeds will go to the Sheriff Foundation and the Gulf Coast Kids House.
Nice.
Which they do a great job as well. Tickets are $50, and you can visit the Sheriff Foundation social media for more information. So, yeah, that benefits the Sheriff's Foundation and the Gulf Coast Kids House.
And one last thing, because we're talking about this, you know, I view your role as sheriff as being heavily shaped by your background in football and coaching and all of that, and that's the way you think about it. But when you leave the facility, the firearms training facility, the last thing you see before you get out on the road is a sign in a sheriff's office colors that just says, "Be the hero." And I think for some people, they look at that and they think, I look at them like, that's exactly what I want them to think. I want your deputies every time to get those little reminders. It's like going down the tunnel to the field, you know, and you put a little inspirational phrase up there. That kind of culture, to me, speaks to excellence and mission and enthusiasm about it.
We continue to push courtesy, integrity, and professionalism at the sheriff's office. Looks like we did when I was a police chief.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to push that because the truth of the matter is, and this be the hero kind of brings that to forefront, is that there are men and women out there every day, every night, just being brave. And they're doing it the right way, and they're doing it for the right reason. So I couldn't be more proud of them. I certainly couldn't be more proud to be the sheriff here in Escambia County.
Well, again, congratulations on the first in history unopposed reelection to a second term. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you do for the community and keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you have a business and you have employees, that means you deal with things like payroll and human resources and providing benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. And if you're happy with how all that's going, and when I mention this, your eye doesn't start to twitch in nervous anxiety over the problems you know you've got, then great. Great. But if you do get an eye twitch, or you do realize that maybe you could do better by your employees, or you just kind of wonder if there is maybe a better way to do it, why don't you give Torgerson and Causey a call today and find out what they think they can do for you? Because here's what happened. About seven or eight years ago, here at News Radio in Cat Country, we switched from who we had been using for years over to Torgerson and Causey. And I have to say, I just didn't know what I had been missing. Because in terms of the plans that they offered and the prices and just having choices, which were significantly better, just having a choice was great. And then also because, like, their ability to answer questions, because my wife is an engineer, so she likes to ask detailed questions that most insurance agents don't really can't answer. And, okay, that's just the norm. So if she's happy with an insurance agent, we keep them forever because they have been. I mean, Reed and, you know, Todd are just fantastic, and they have her thumbs up. And if you get my wife's thumbs up and you're an insurance agent, I mean, that's amazing. So Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years helping local businesses. Give them a call and get a no-obligation review of what you're doing, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today. At 10:30, as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
He's going vertical, so am I.
We're going ballistic, man. Go get him.
Hey, so I have a bone to pick with Noah because we've got a 40-mile-an-hour sustained wind event in the southwestern Gulf headed towards Mexico, so it's not worrying me, but they're not calling it a named storm yet, even though it's at 39 is when you're supposed to start naming these storms, so it's still just potential tropical cyclone one. I guess maybe the name assigning people haven't gotten up yet this morning. I don't know. It's just weird. So, and then we got that other blobby thing off on the eastern side of Florida that's not going to affect us most likely except for maybe rain. And then we got the other one right on top of the southwestern Gulf blob that's going to do probably nothing for us. But just, you know, why? Why? We're not really into the season yet, right? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
New York's Court of Appeals has declined to hear an appeal of the gag order in former President Trump's hush money case. They say there's no substantial constitutional question involved. That means the gag order will remain in effect. Trump campaign spokesman Stephen Chung responded. They say the order wrongfully silences Trump and they'll continue to fight it.
That's an interesting way of telling Trump he's totally wrong, isn't it? Because his claim was this suppresses my First Amendment rights, and they said, there's not really a constitutional issue here.